Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.
Well, folks, we are going to interview our first Drugal guest. Let me read you the little blurb to bring you up to speed of what we're talking about here. After seven seasons as host of Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show, I announced to my listeners that I am no longer convinced that there's a God. And as far as we know, this would be the first time a host on a Christian station has openly admitted to a crisis of faith, at least publicly, and at least kept their job. So we invite you to join me on this journey as I search for an encounter with God. From now until our Christmas show, December 18th, I'm going to speak to a variety of prominent people during each show, just for like 10 minutes, because most of them have been guests already. So the odd person we might go a little longer with if they're new. We're going to ask them why they believe in God, if they believe in God, and if they've ever had a legitimate personal encounter with Him. And I use that word legitimate lightly because I realize people who have had, they think they've had an encounter, and you question it, they get threatened, as we found out earlier in the show. But you got to understand my point of view too, as well as those in the world that don't believe in God. So they say to you, why do you believe in God? And you say, I believe because I believe. You sound like a moron. You might really believe it, but you still sound like a moron.
But it sounded good when, what's his name said in that song?
Who?
Oh, Larry Norman.
I believe because I believe, he said
this
that?
This is what I believe, that's just what I believe. Yeah, it's in that song that DC Talk redid.
Oh.
Left Behind, the one about being left behind? Anyway.
Yeah, thanks for that interjection there, Tim. Oh, Tim brought his bird with him today. Basically, we're going to ask each of our Drugal guests to attempt to, I guess, talk me off the ledge. Either to jump, as the atheist we'll interview will probably do, or to climb back inside my faith. All right? Our God guests are going to include celebrities, apologists, theologians, authors. Bottom line, I'm asking for an encounter with God for Christmas. And along the way, I'd love to hear from Dr. Billy Graham. I'm just saying that's out there. I don't know if it's going to happen, if it's a reality, but I'd love to be able, that's just kind of a pinnacle thing for me there to hear from the good doctor. But in the meantime, we couldn't get Dr. Billy Graham, so we got the next best thing. Oh,
nice.
Mr. Paul Young, author of The Shack. Paul, it's been a while since you've been on the show. You were like every month there for a while.
Oh, I know. And well, I've got a big task now. I can't sound like a moron, and I can't, you know, Drew, jump. Just jump. You know? you know what I'm thinking?
Man.
I think if you jump, you're going to find the ground is about a foot below where you're standing.
Oh, buddy, see, he comes out with this stuff. That is so cool. Seriously, yeah. I'm not being facetious. That is such an fascinating illustration already. First thing out of his mouth.
Wow. You know, and I'm not being facetious either.
Yeah.
You know, you can jump all you want, and there are so many things that you're not going to change, and you're not going to, I mean, if you jump, you're not going to betray your wife. There is something that's inside of you that says, I already know what love is, and I'm not letting that go, you know.
Right.
And I understand crisis of faith. That's, you know, a lot of times our rationality and our experience, you know, explode against what's going on in our own heart, and it totally makes sense. I think crises of faith are great. I don't think them as negative at all.
Crises? Is it crises?
I know, crisis.
Crisis.
Yeah. It's a Greek word, you know, crisis.
Yes, of course, yeah. I have them in my pants each and every day. What's your encounter? I mean, you've written a fictional book that paints I think the most yearning encounter we've all, well, most of us, you know, there's the odd people out there that are a little weird about it, but I think anybody that kind of hooked into The Shack went, oh, how awesome would that be?
Well, that's a great point. Why did so many millions of people have that sense when they read it? Why? Why would they share that experience?
Because we're yearning for it.
But why would we? Why?
Why are we yearning?
Because
we usually yearn for something we're missing.
Yeah, but why would we even have the character makeup to yearn for that?
Because you know? God left something inside of us that yearns for a relationship with Him.
That makes sense to me. Thank you. All right, this has been a great talk.
All the best now. Bye bye.
Yeah. Right.
Hope you sell some books.
I think we human beings. I think we are so used to living inside the glory of God, inside the presence of God, that we just are blind to it. It's all around us, and we're so used to participating in the life of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that we just think that all of this holiness is mundane and normal. We're so used to responding with the Father's heart against evil that we don't understand how supernatural it is. And so then we have these, well, I would really like a parlor trick, you know? If I was back and Jesus was walking around and he created eyes out of mud, I wouldn't have been saying, why is he doing this on the Sabbath, you know?
No, you'd be like, whoa, hello.
You think we would, right? And I'm saying you're surrounded by it. Your love for your children reflects the fact that you've already been included into this life of Father.
Okay. Quick pushback on that is people that aren't Jesus people love their kids better than I do.
I think they're included. I don't think they're discluded. You know, I think everything was in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when Jesus came,
you think they're included because you're a pluralist and you think they're going to heaven? You're a universalist?
No, aren't you tired of that? Yeah, I know. You know, universalism is a great hope, but you can't make it a doctrine, or you deny the ability of a human being to constantly say no to love. You just do, and. So, you know, it's a beautiful hope, and I would love that to be true. Who of sane mind does not want everybody to be included in that ultimate sense? But when Jesus came, he did not leave his deity behind, and it already says that everything is connected to him. Everything is by, for, through, and in Jesus. So when he came, he did not say, okay, I'm leaving that behind. So when you watch Jesus, everything, the entire cosmos is in him. And Romans says, when he died, everything died. But when he rose, everything rose. Everybody got included. And every good thing you see is a manifestation of that.
Okay,
now,
so what...
Let me tell you a Baxter Kruger story, right?
Yeah.
So Baxter, he's on this flight, and he's...
By the way, our Canadian listeners may not know or give a holy grunt who Baxter Kruger is, other than they're going to confuse him with Brexy Cady because of the name.
No, Baxter is a Mississippi theologian who has got a PhD in Aberdeen, Scotland, and he's just a great good old boy who's brilliant.
You realize that's an oxymoron, right?
Yeah, you know.
A good old boy that's brilliant.
I know. That's why I say that, because it's so unusual. So anyway, he's on this flight. It pulls away from the gate. It pulls back to the gate, and the flight's almost empty. And there's one guy who kind of looks like Indiana Jones gets on the flight and walks past 25 seats of empty rows to sit next to Baxter. And Baxter, he introduces himself as a systematic evolutionary microbiologist.
Who introduces themselves like that?
Well, Indiana Jones probably would introduce something like that. Anyway, he'd been in this expedition in the Caribbean, and he was a research guy. So they start talking about plants, which Baxter tells me later. He says, you know, the only plants I care about is if there's fish near them, you know?
Yeah.
Because
he's a killer fisherman. Killer fisherman.
Yeah, he is.
The guy makes his own lures.
I know.
Okay.
I know, and they're beautiful. And nobody will fish with them because they're so beautiful. But so this guy starts talking. He's got the Latin names. There's this real fire in his belly about plants, and that are especially those that are on the verge of extinction, and how important they are, and what could be done to save them, and why we have to do that. He just starts diagramming all these things, and Baxter starts getting fascinated. He starts entering this guy's passion. So he turns to Baxter and he says, now, you're a theologian. I suppose you want to talk to me about evolution. And he says, no, I don't really, but I got a question for you. And the guy says, well, what's that? Well, where did this passion for plants come from? I mean, you know, did you have parents? It's not every day you meet somebody that's got such a deep burden for the welfare of plants.
Yeah, his parents had a grow-up.
Yeah, well, exactly. Were they botanists? You have an uncle that's a botanist? I mean, why do you love plants? And he says, you know, I never really thought about it, ever. So Baxter pulls out his napkin and says, oh, well, I can tell you. And he draws the Trinitarian three circles, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he says, you know what? I know the origin of your passion for plants, and I know who you are. You know, he says, the fire in your heart, in your belly, is not yours. It's not only yours. It comes from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's they who care deeply about this creation. They share your passion for creation, and you're sharing it through Jesus, whether you know it or not, want it or not, like it or not. And so he shares his delight in plants with you, the burden for the welfare of this planet, because this planet is theirs, created by them, and you're living in that. So you go to sleep at night, you wake up in the morning, you work all day in his concern, in his creative ideas. You're living in Jesus' life. You're participating in the relationship that Jesus has with the Father, in the fellowship of the Spirit, and in his zeal for this creation. And he says, why hasn't anybody ever told me this? Right? So part of what I'm saying is you participate in this, whether you like it or not, or know it or not. And that's why I say you jump from wherever you want to jump, and you're going to land a foot below. And I'm confident of that. Because I think, you know, I know the way you love your kids. I know the good things and why you do this radio show. And for me, you're participating. And to me, every good thing that happens on this planet is people, whether they know it or not, participating in the life of God.
Okay, so let me summarize what I think you just said. I think what you just said was there's a lot of good stuff on the planet, and all that is good comes from God. But because we're surrounded, or I happen to be surrounded, blessed, or surrounded with a lot of good, I've gotten used to the good, and I'm taking for granted God's interaction with me through good.
Yeah, and not just general good. I'm talking very specific good. And the fact that there's something wrong about burning the Quran. There is just this thing that rises up when we are confronted with self-centeredness. You have grown in other-centered love. Why? Why should you care at all?
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, and to me...
But hold on, what's your experience? See, you're living off of Rumors of Glory, too. You're living off of Baxter Kruger's story. What's your experience with God, man?
Oh, on many different levels. The people say...
I mean, aside from you wrote a book that billions of people bought. And that's, I would say that's circumstantial, too.
It is circumstantial. And I did it because I love my kids.
Yep.
And I did it because I've gone through hell and back in the process of becoming a more of a human being than I used to be. And God was in the center of that process. And so on one level, I can say, oh, let's talk intellectually, you know, and take a look at probability statistics and all those kinds of things about how this universe came to be. Even, you know, even Stephen Hawking, who's written his latest book, kind of got himself into a jam, had to divorce his believing evangelical wife because I don't think he wanted to live with the very things that he discovered himself, which is that this universe has a beginning, time has a beginning. And so he's now got a book saying, well, you don't have to believe in a God in order that time had a beginning. And so you can do it on an intellectual level.
Yeah.
You can do it on an emotional level. You can do it on a social level in terms of sense of community, etc. Yeah.
Paul. Correct me if I'm wrong, but have you shared your personal encounter with God?
As in talking to you about it?
Yeah, on air, right now. Give me one that you can talk about publicly right now. Have you encountered God? Because I look back on my life, and either I've forgotten, and you don't think you'd forget an encounter with God, or there's been lots of them, and I'm so used to them that I don't even see them as God anymore, or I really haven't encountered God. What's yours?
To me, mine is a constant interrelationship that happens all the time. And, I mean, what do you define as an encounter with God?
I don't know. But I do compare it. All I have to compare it to is stuff I read in the Bible. And I'm reading about stories of men and women encountering God, not circumstantial evidence, not... And Paul was riding his camel toward the Walmart one day, and he was in a hurry because he had to minister to a hurting, broken, homeless people. And so he needed a parking spot close to the front door of Walmart for his camel, and he prayed for it, and lo and behold, there was a camel spot right there.
How about, I got a friend named Dan Polk in Washington, D.C. He lives in Annapolis, and I'm living in Portland, Oregon. And he has this little business, side business, where he gets these houses and he helps young men learn trades who are coming out of difficult situations. And they fix up the houses and then they sell them and buy another house. And he lost his finished contractor on a job that he'd actually taken for his parents. And so he checked around trying to find a finished contractor. And the finished contractor that he found through his real estate agent was a young guy, just by reputation, good finished contractor, et cetera. And he was He was at the home that Dan Polk's parents have, doing measurements, when I called Dan on the phone. And I was talking about a trip that we were taking to North Carolina. And after he got off the phone, this kid says, was that William P. Young you were talking to on the phone? And he says, yeah, why? He says, well, my father-in-law went to boarding school with him. Really? What's your father-in-law's name? Joe Smith. And he says, well, do you want to talk to Paul? Sure. So I'm on the phone with Joe Smith's son-in-law, and we're having this great little conversation. And Dan explains to me that how he met him, he found him because he needed to finish contractor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he gets off the phone, and I said, Danny, Joe Smith was my primary sexual abuser in boarding school. Now, I said, don't say anything, because I forgave him a long time ago. Well, that started a whole series of events that drew all these little pieces together. You know, that's one little story of, yeah, we can look at it and say, oh, I can see this with an adult mind. This is coincidence. This is chance. This
right.
is luck. This is,
right.
you know, all of these things.
Yep.
And I've got hundreds of stories. And I think partly because, you know, in my life, I'm 55 years old, but it took me 50 years to become a child, to become someone who is able to just look at life around and say, you know what, there is so much good here.
As we sort of wrap this up, because we only, you and I are going to continue this kind of back and forth stuff on Twitter over the next few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And so you along with Bruxy Cavey are two guys who are going to dialogue with me on Twitter. So if you want to follow that dialogue, then follow TDMS on Twitter. And Bruxy Cavey, teaching pastor of the Meeting House, and Paul Young, author of The Shack, are going to attempt to sort of tweet me off the ledge, so to speak, in 140 characters or less. And it'll just be this kind of concise back and forth. And one answer to this whole scenario is, and I'm open to this, people need to know, I'm not wanting to become an atheist. I can't see myself becoming that arrogant. I'm okay with a little bit of arrogance, but not that much. Then maybe one of the answers is God retools me in such a way that I see how I'm encountering him, as opposed to providing a new encounter. Is that fair?
That's totally fair. That's Paul's prayer for all of us.
Right.
That your inside eyes would be open so that you would see
yeah.
what's going on here.
Okay, because right now I don't see it. I don't see it.
No,
And people are getting angry with me and calling me names and wanting me off the radio. And, wow,
I think this is beautiful. And I think you need to know you're not the only one. I mean, this week I was involved in a reality TV show from Holland that's called In Search of God. And where they take Dutch celebrities who are really doing exactly the same thing that you're doing and saying, I would love to have a relationship with God, but I don't have a clue. And they get to meet people all over the world who then tell them about their experience and their relationship with Jesus. And so, and they show it on national primetime television the 6 days before Christmas. So you're not alone. And I think this is great. I think it's incredibly honest, incredibly courageous. I'm so proud of you for...
Oh, no, it's just sensationalism.
Honest.
I'm just trying to get new listeners. It's a media spin.
I know
spin.
Better than that. Yeah, you can say that all you want, but I know better than that. So it's great, and I know a lot of people feel just the same way that you do. So,
okay.
You know, you're speaking on behalf of a lot of folks, and I think that's a wonderfully great thing to do.
Paul, I want to thank you for being our first Drugal guest. We are going to keep a collection of these Drugal interviews on our Drugal page on our website, drewmarshall.ca. You can click on Drugal, point people towards Drugal. They're going to hear these open dialogues. They can listen to all these interviews from now until Christmas. And, of course, they can follow our push back and forth dialogue. Tweet Drew off the ledge in 140 characters or less on Twitter there. So, Paul, thanks, buddy. Right?
I know, and also big hugs to Paul Coleman too. He's a good bud.
Okay, I'll tell him you love him.
I'm gonna love you too, man.
Thanks, dude. We'll talk to you again. Oh wait, hey Paul.
Yeah.
Would your first tweet back to me be that whole jump?
It's on
you already did that? Oh.
Yeah, the one that I. Oh no, I haven't done the jump one. I'll do the jump one.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Let me tender.
I'll be back.
Bye. There you go, folks. That's our first Drugal guest of the season. Hopefully you're getting a taste for what we're trying to do here. All right. Short break. When we come back, Paul Coleman is going to be our guest over the phone. Grammy-nominated recording artist, and then immediately following Paul Coleman, in studio with Jacob Moon, Canadian recording artist extraordinaire. Boy, his life is just, they've adopted a kid, he's getting emails from Queen. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. Craziness! Paul Coleman up next. Stay with us.
You're listening to the show that talks about stuff the others can't, don't, or won't. The Drew Marshall Show on Joy 1250.
Maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign? Well, what if we gave you a show? The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative advertising concept for the small business owner or charity. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is offering you an opportunity to partner with us, one show at a time. Consider sponsoring one show, and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show, including a live phone interview. We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month. If you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with The Drew Marshall Show. Go to drewmarshall.ca for details or call Joy 1250 on 905-845-2821, extension 367. That's 905-845-2821, extension 367.